Welcome again to Advent Hope. I'm Kevin Dunn, your host. Glad you could join us today. You'll have to bear with me through this presentation. It kind of got me a cold in the last few days. I'm getting over it. I just got a residual cough. But if I do a little bit of sneezing, a little bit of coughing, I'm sure you'll understand. It's that time of year, and I'm sure all of you know too well, you know, what it's like to get the sniffles and the slight coughs. But hey, God's been good to us. We had a wonderful weekend, a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration with my kids and their spouses, and everything went well. I'm always thankful when my kids get home safe. You know, they live up in Ohio, and of course, driving up to Ohio, you got to go through Louisville and Cincinnati and who knows what else in order to get to your destination. But we pray for our kids, pray for their safety, pray that God's angels take good care of them on their journey. Well, we had a good weekend. Before I get into today's topic, I want to remind you again about Celebrate Recovery. Thursday evening at 6 o'clock at the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. Come on out. Find out what it's about. No one's going to bite you. No one's going to take you to task. And everything's confidential. And everything's free. So we have supper at 6 o'clock Thursday evening. And then at 6:30, we have a worship time. And then after the worship time, we proceed with the confidential conversations where we talk about what may help us, what we need. You know, we share it with one another. And it's open, it's confidential, and it's lighthearted for most of the time. We have a good time there. Come on out Thursday evening, 6 o'clock, Celebrate Recovery to the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Goshen Road. One thing I found myself watching on television from time to time, all of us know about these Hallmark movies. Hallmark shows. Now, Hallmark is a wonderful place where you can turn and watch some clean, family-oriented television. And I enjoy watching some of the things on the Hallmark Channel. I got to get a kick out of it because they tend to be rather sappy, okay, rather wonderful, joyful, okay. And we need to watch things that end joyfully. There's altogether too many unhappy things going on in the world today, as you well know. And it's nice to be able to watch things that end happily. And your typical Hallmark movie has to do with man meets woman, boy meets girl. Maybe they don't like each other, don't care for each other in the beginning. And in the end, everyone's happy. The boy gets together with the girl. The girl finds the perfect man of her dreams. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Holiday Hallmarks all year long. And sometimes I felt like, they're just a little bit too sappy for me, you know, too perfect. Everything's just so wonderful, so cute, so adorable in the end. And Lassie comes home. They find their pet kitten, whatever. Everything is happy. Everybody joins hands and peaceful. Happy. And that seems to be the way, Mark. That seems to be what Hallmark movies are about. Happy endings. Everybody's happy. Joy. All about joy. You know, you may be asking yourself, you know, when's the last time I've really felt joy in my own life? You know, we all feel the stresses. We all feel the anxieties. We all wonder sometimes, is there a God who really, truly cares for me, who really loves me? Well, the answer to that question, I'm going to positively say yes. And that's the knowledge of knowing that there's a God who loves us, who cares for us, that brings us that sense of joy, that certitude, that sense of life is worth living. Even with its difficulties, even with its challenges, life is still worth living because we are created in the image of a life-giving God. A God who loves, a God who plans, a God who has a wonderful future for us. Life is worth living. Life can be joyful. And that's the focus of my talk today. Life is joyful if we understand the source of joy. Now, I'm going to look at some scripture verses in the next few moments with you, because the Bible, it's about a lot of different things. You know, the different topics you may want to discuss, you can find virtually all of them written in the inspired Word of God, if you're willing to look for them. I remember the story of a father who was on his deathbed, and his sons came up to him, and while they're grieving, perhaps, the death of their father, they're also wondering, did he leave anything for us? And the father said, well, I've given you a field, and out in the field there is a treasure to be found. And so after the father died, the boys take their tools, their instruments, their plows, their hoes, and they go out and they start digging up the field. And they're looking for this buried treasure. And they keep looking and looking and looking, and they don't find the buried treasure that they look for. But what they do find is once the field is all wonderfully dug up, it becomes a beautiful, rich field for crops to grow. They plant a crop there and reap a wonderful harvest in that crop. And the point was that the treasure was in the field, but it wasn't evident there in the field until they worked the field, until they spent time and labor and effort digging up the field. And then they discovered there was a treasure that was worth having. The treasure was the field itself. Well, it's kind of like searching through the Word of God. When we're willing to take the time to dig in and ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about this, or what does the Bible say about that? What important treasures does God have in store for us if I'm willing to look for them? Well, we need to be willing to dig for that treasure in the Bible. And one of the treasures the Bible shares with us is that God is a God of joy, a God who delights to impart joy to us if we will look for that joy. I'm going to go to a psalm. Now, the Psalms say they'll have a lot to say about joy. Psalm chapter 16. In Psalm 16, the Bible shares with us the source of joy. It's one of those Psalms of David. And David, being a man after God's own heart, knew what it was like to bask in the joy of God's blessing, knowing that God preserved and cared for him. And in Psalm 16, verse 7, and I'll begin here. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Okay? In other words, as long as he's near me, as long as I know the presence of God is with me, I shall not be moved. The idea of the presence of God, a presence that gives assurance, a presence that gives confidence, is so important when we study that through the Scriptures, especially the Old Testament, but well into the New Testament as well. It was the presence of God that kept Moses going with the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. As they were able, and yes, they rebelled sometimes, they complained a lot, they wished they were back in Egypt sometimes. But every time they felt destitute of the presence of God, all they had to do was look in the center of the camp of the Israelites and see over top of the tabernacle the presence of God revealed in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. And so they knew they had the visible assurance that God was with them, as a presence with them, all during the wearying journey through the wilderness. Now, things were not always great. They got sick and tired of the manna. God gave them other food. But it was the presence of God that kept them going, and the hope of reaching the promised land one day that kept them going there at the time of their sojourning in the wilderness. So David says, because he, God, is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He's talking about the stability, he's talking about the assurance, he's talking about the confidence that he had in God. As long as God is with him, he will not be moved. And then verse 9, he says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. He has a lot to say about the assurance that comes with the presence of God in your life. You see, the presence of God is the presence of peace. It's the presence of joy. It's the presence of assurance that as long as God is with you, nothing can hurt you, in the sense of someone who is void of the presence of God. As long as God is with us, whether we are at our best or whether we're laying there on our deathbed, as long as we have the assurance of the presence of God, we know we can experience the joy that comes with that presence. He says, verse 9, therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or in the grave, if you will, the abode of the dead. Okay, that's what the Israelites in the Old Testament called the abode of the dead, the grave, Sheol. You'll not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. That's what we're talking about today, joy. In your presence, David says, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I wonder if even Christians fully understand the blessings and benefits that come with having this faith relationship, this love relationship with Jesus. If they realize, even in the midst of the troubles and trials we go through, and we all go through them, we all deal with stuff in our lives, even in the midst of this, we can experience joy as long as we know that God is with us during those difficult times, that God is that ever-abiding presence in our lives. All too often, we get so caught up in our hurts and our heartaches, we fail to realize that that presence of God with us is like a soothing aloe. People use aloe vera on their skin sometimes. It's like a soothing ointment upon our hearts, our minds, knowing that God is a present reality to us. In your presence is fullness of joy. He doesn't say, well, I feel a little bit better because you're there. No, he says fullness of joy in the presence of God. Now, when we talk about joy, when we recognize the joyful things that happen in this life are simply a foretaste of what heaven is about. Now, this will have already been preached by the time you get this message, but this morning, Sabbath morning, I'll be preaching at the Seventh-day Adventist Church on a message I call Hallmark Heaven. Okay, remember I said one of the characteristics of most Hallmark movies is everything's joyful. Everything ends in joy. As they are united with loved ones, as they are conciled with people that they love, as man and woman, as brothers and sisters, as families get together, the atmosphere is an atmosphere of joy. And so your perfect Hallmark movie ends in joy. And that's how life experience on planet Earth will one day end for those who are taken up into heaven, a place of joy. What is joy? Do we fully experience joy here on Earth? Well, I could give some experiences when we talk about joy. Now, some of you observe a beautiful sunset, and you're reminded about what a beautiful earth this is in many places, especially before the blight of sin has corrupted this earth. Or you see a beautiful bouquet of flowers, or you see a beautiful romantic movie on television, or you see something that just kind of inspires you with a sense of joy, a sense of happiness. You know, all of these are foretastes of what heaven is going to be, okay? They're simply small pretaste of what heaven is going to be like, amplified 1,000 times, and maybe we've come to understand what heaven is going to be like. All these experiences of joy. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you would probably say the most joyful times you have in your life are, maybe you've experienced this last weekend, family get-togethers. And I visualize, you know, being old granddad, sitting on the big stuffed chair, children playing, opening presents, perhaps, singing some songs, family together, talking about old times, using the expression, do you remember when? You know, talking about good things that have happened in your life, teasing one another, playing joyfully and playfully with one another. Just your family is having a good time. No one's arguing. No one's recalling pains and sufferings. People are just gathered together having a good time around a good meal prepared by grandma, prepared by my mother, and they're just having a joyful time together. I got to acknowledge to you, you know, there's many things that bring me joy in my life. You know, I talked about things in nature. I talk about, but the greatest joy that comes to me is being with my children. My children and their spouses, sitting there having meaningful conversation with my son. My daughter acting like the sassy teenager that she used to be. Just all the things that bring us joy and happiness. And I submit, in most of our cases, maybe not all, but most of our cases, the greatest joy we experience is being with those we love the most. Well, All this is a foretaste of heaven. What is heaven going to be? Being with those we love the most. All right? Being in the presence of God, who we have learned how to love more than life itself. Being in the presence of those loved ones who are in the kingdom with us. Being in the presence of those who have gone before us in the faith, Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and all the great heroes of the faith, Peter, Paul, the apostles. Being in the presence of all of these wonderful people and listening to them as they describe their life experience here on planet Earth. Being in the presence of Jesus, all of this is joy. Someone has suggested that the real message of joy is spelled out in the word joy. How do I find joy? You find joy in Jesus. Okay, J is for Jesus. You find joy in serving Him. You find joy in serving others. O is for others. And lastly, you find joy in caring for you, yourself. Joy. Okay? Putting others first, especially Jesus, in our worship of Him, in our doing, living by His commandments, in our relationship with Him, in our serving to others, and caring for ourselves as much as we are able to do. Joy, something that God offers us in His very presence. And remember when the baby Jesus was born, the angel appeared to the disciple, to the shepherds out on the hillside and said, "Don't be afraid, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, a baby, and He is Christ the Lord." So the Christian life can be a joyful life if we understand the benefits of it, if we understand truly what God has for us. When we talk about joy, again, many of us, when you hear the word joy, you think of it in a lot of different terms. Now, the men among our species may interpret joy just a little bit differently than the women in the species. Women tend to love more sentimental things. They tend to love good romantic movies. I have to admit I like a good romantic movie myself. Men, we see joy in terms of competition, in terms of fast cars, in terms of athletic struggles, and we want to be on the front line in the midst of the struggle. Well, I can imagine a time in the kingdom we're going to wrestle that big alligator, we're going to wrestle that big lion or that tiger, not get hurt, and yet still enjoy the happiness of the event. So, and I say this because some people, when they think of heaven, is that really going to be a joyful place? Is that really going to be a place where I can really expand myself beyond my human reach, where I can really do something manly and meaningful? Well, wrestling with a tiger, wrestling with an alligator, whatever you want to do, I think there's going to be a place for that in heaven. Joy. Heaven is a joyful place. It's not just a place where we sit around and play harps on clouds throughout eternity. That's a kind of an embellishment given to us by the enemy. But heaven is going to be a place where we continue to grow, we continue to learn, we continue to explore the recesses of the universe. We continue to learn more and more about this God who created us, how big, how awesome He truly is. Heaven is going to be a place filled with joy. But He offers us a foretaste of heaven here on planet Earth. And that's what I keep emphasizing. The good things that happen in this life, whether it be time spent with our families, whether it's be times enjoying the abundance of nature, the beautiful sunset, the flowers, the hills, go climb a mountain, whatever it is that brings you joy, all of these are simply foretastes of what God has in store for us when we get into the kingdom of heaven. What does that scripture say in 1 Corinthians? Give me a moment to turn to it. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, this is the Apostle Paul. Now, what do we know about Paul? He knew something about joy. He knew how to be content. He knew how to know that God was going to take care of all of his needs. But when he talked about heaven, he says, excuse me, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." But, he says in the next verse, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Okay. When we have the interaction with the presence of God in our lives, we start to understand something about what he has in store for us. Eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, it's not even entered our mind, just how great, how glorious, how wonderful eternal life is going to be. Now, I hear preachers talk about the blessings of having eternal life. I don't hear a lot of people expound upon what it means to have eternal life. You may be thinking, well, if that's anything like the life I'm enduring here on earth now, I don't want it. You know, there are some people who honestly don't relish the idea of living eternally. Why? Because life on planet Earth hasn't been all that wonderful for them. Well, I can relate to that. I can understand where, you know, if you're one of those that thinks that, I can understand where that's coming from. Maybe your life hasn't been always joyful. Maybe you've endured chronic pain or problems with your health, your finances, or your children, whatever it may be. But I assure you that heaven is going to be so much better than that. You know, heaven is not just a remake of all the troubles we have on planet Earth, but heaven is a place, a real place, that God has in store where the overwhelming, overriding characterization is joy. Joy. Eternal happiness. And I don't mean that we're all going to just wander around with all these giddy feelings, you know, and acting silly and goofy, but we're going to enjoy heaven. Now, like Paul says, we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. All we can understand is that it is a good place to be. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It is a very good thing to be saved when Jesus comes. It's a very bad thing to be lost. Why? Is it because Jesus is threatening us? Is he mad at us? No. He has something wonderful in store for us. Why would we reject that? Why would we not want to experience the joy that he's offering us? Well, we all have a lot of reasons, don't we? Well, I'm going to have to change my life. Well, I'm going to have to give up this or that. Well, I'm going to have to, you know, go to church. I'm going to have to read my Bible. All of these become kind of a natural part of life when our life is under the lordship of Christ, okay? It's not like we're having to make ourselves do these things. Even the study of the Bible can become a joyous experience. But I don't understand so much of the Bible. Well, study it. Study it in a group. Learn from someone who's trained biblically. Okay, be careful about that. Study the Bible for yourself, but don't be afraid to take some counsel from someone else who may have studied it much longer than you. But you find that there's a joy in studying the Bible, reading how God deals with people like us, how God deals with the sin situation. Reading the Bible can be a joyful experience. Serving others can be a joyful experience. I know that the happiest people I know in the world are people who give their lives in the service towards making life better for other people. You know, whether I meet them in the nursing homes, the hospitals, the nurseries, wherever they may be, people who live their lives in service to other people are the happiest people that I know. And most of the time, they are people who are devoted to Jesus as their Savior. There are people who have given their lives to Christ, and as Christ lived his life to serve others, so they too live their lives in service to others. Well, they find joy in this, okay? There's joy in service to others. There's joy in bringing food to the needy. There's joy in helping with the sick. There's joy in just being in service, being a help to others when we can. But all of these, again, are just a foretaste of what heaven is about. I call it Hallmark Heaven, the sermon that I'm preaching this weekend. Hallmark Heaven. It all ends in happiness. It all ends with those who are saved, united with Christ in the kingdom. They are caught up to meet the Lord together in the air, and they experience the fullness of his joy. He talks about joy quite a bit. Jesus does. Okay, I'm going to turn to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, he's talking to his disciples, and he says in John 16, verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, okay? And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now, he's talking to the disciples shortly before going to the cross, shortly before his death on the hill of Calvary. And he's alerting his disciples to the fact that, yeah, they're going to be heartbroken when they see their Lord and Master crucified and put to death on a cross. But they're going to be overflowing with joy when they see him again, when they see him resurrected. And that becomes the theme of the rest of the New Testament after the resurrection of Jesus. Joy. Astounded, awesome, awe-filled joy. Because Jesus lives again. And the assurance that that gives them of a life beyond the grave, the assurance that that gives them of a wonderful home in heaven, a knowledge that Jesus is coming back again, and all of these sorrows and difficulties we face in this life will be no more. They will be replaced. And the glimpses of heaven that we see in the faces of our children, in being together with our loved ones, in a beautiful sunset, in looking at a beautiful bouquet of flowers, those simple things that we see that we extract a bit of happiness and joy from, those are simply small foretastes of what God has in store for his people, for his redeemed, his saved, when they get into the kingdom of heaven. I know you're going through struggles right now. All of us are. I have mine, you have yours, all right? You know, if we were to be honest, you know, when someone comes up and asks, how you doing? If we gave them the full truth about how we're doing, we'd probably spend half an hour, you know, pouring out all of our burdens, all of our pains, all of our cares and worries. But we usually just say fine, you know, because we know they don't really, really want to know how we're doing. They just kind of ask that as a formality. But when we get to the kingdom of heaven and someone asks how you're doing, we can say, I am absolutely full of joy. Joy to be here. Joy because by the grace of God, not through my own works, not through my own worthiness, but by the sheer grace and mercy of God, I am here in the kingdom of heaven and I am enjoying this joyful experience throughout the ages of eternity. And you know what? I'm not bored. I'm not worn down by repetition. I'm not doing some menial job repeating over and over again. I am enjoying every aspect of being here in the kingdom of heaven. And so I just want you to keep all this in mind as we've entered into this holiday season. You know, we associate the holidays with joy, don't we? We try to find joy in them. We lighten things up. We use bright lights a lot, whether it's the streets, whether it's our homes, our Christmas trees. We like bright things because bright things kind of make us feel a little more joyful. And that's not wrong. That's good. But the stretches we go through to extract joy out of life almost astound me sometimes, because joy is not something that can be put into you from the outside, but it's something that is given to you inside. Joy is an inside emotion and a reflection of what God has given to us. We celebrate the joy of Christmas coming up very soon. Celebrating the joy of Christmas, the acknowledgement that the ultimate source of our joy is God, the one who's created us, the one who's made us to experience his joy. And in 1 John chapter 1, the writer says, verse 4, these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. What's the source of that joy? Having fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Being in partnership with God, being in relationship with God, experiencing the presence of God in your life. Those fleeting moments where you feel his nearness to an exceptional degree. Well, I don't feel the nearness of God. Pray that God extend his joy to you. There was a time my wife, long before we were married, said that she was going through a sad time in her life, and she was sitting and she said, God, I just need a hug. And she felt the physical presence of God giving her a hug. Well, that's what she needed at the time, and that's what the Lord gave her. virtually a physical touch. We all need to be touched. We all need to experience in a fresh new way the joy that comes from the presence of God in our lives. That's what the Christmas season is about, my friend. God became flesh. He dwelled among us. He gave us his presence. He gave us the fullness of joy if we can experience that. So I'm wishing you a joyful holiday season. I'm wishing you that you have a wonderful experience as you remember whoever else is near you, whoever else is present with you, Jesus is present with you. Thank you for listening to Advent Hope. I hope that you are blessed by today's program. I hope that you have a wonderful day.